You're listening to Marriage Minute with Pastors Richard and Donna Spears, impacting marriages that leave a lasting legacy.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for joining us today.
Yes, thanks for joining us. You know, last week's talk about the power of a vow connects well with this week's message, the power of forgiveness.
Yeah.
Almost always, the vows we make require us to forgive the one who hurt us, which is very hard. And forgiveness is the most important of all issues as it relates to getting free from our past.
Mm-hmm.
There is power in forgiveness.
It's amazing to me how the vows that we talked about last week, the power in a vow, and that promise that kind of keeps us stuck, how it's really linked to forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's one of the things to help overcome the vow from last week, but forgiveness is a very powerful thing in and of itself, you know.
Very, very much so. And hopefully through this teaching today, you'll take the next step if there's someone out there that you're needing to forgive.
Well, certainly if it's your spouse,
mm-hmm.
you know, or even if it's an ex-spouse. You know, we talked about divorce in December, and you may have a forgiveness issue toward an ex-spouse.
Mm-hmm.
So if so, you need to not allow that to hurt or hinder your current
mm-hmm.
relationship.
Absolutely. But, you know, I think there are so many people, there's a lot of people who say, I have forgiven this person multiple times. I have forgiven them time and time and time again, but nothing ever changes. I still feel my blood boil and my blood pressure go up when I hear their name, and I just don't want to be around them.
Yeah.
You know, and this could be because they've just not gotten over the hurt.
Right.
Forgiveness is something that we do as a biblical command, I'll just say.
Mm-hmm. It's a choice, right?
Whether we're still hurt or not still hurt.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll get into that more later. But
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So, you know, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, 14 and 15, some very powerful things as it relates to forgiveness. And this is what it says, and I'm reading from the New King James Version. It says, "For if you forgive men their trespasses," which basically means their sin toward you, "your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, then neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." So what is Jesus saying here? Jesus is saying that unforgiveness blocks the flow of grace in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, everyone, you know, sweetie, everybody wants to have God's blessing in their life. And they want to have God's blessing in their marriage.
Mm-hmm.
But I think a lot of times we all struggle at times with actually following what Jesus asked us to do
mm-hmm.
because we don't necessarily see the connection in the blessing of God with this unforgiveness. And we also battle, and I'm sure you know this better than I do, I mean, in one sense, but forgiveness blocks that blessing. But it's something that you actually have to choose and say, you know what, I need to have freedom from this. If I'm going to have the grace of God flowing and operating in my life, I've got to release this person mm-hmm. and not continue to hold on to this unforgiveness that I have toward them.
You know, the Bible says that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek after him.
Yeah.
You know, I would say God is a rewarder of those who obey him.
Mm-hmm.
And if we're going to truly reap the rewards of the blessings of God, the promises of God, and all that he has for us in the Bible, we have to dive into these difficult things, even though it makes us uncomfortable, even though some of you out there might be saying, well, that just makes what was done to me okay. No,
mm-hmm.
it doesn't. What it's doing is it's revving up the power that Jesus has for you, that God has for you
mm-hmm.
in his promises and his blessings. And
so true.
And he is a rewarder. You will be rewarded for the forgiveness that you give.
Yeah.
And you'll be rewarded in ways that probably I can't even think of, but the first thing I can think of is peace.
Yeah, absolutely.
You have peace. You know,
yeah.
God promises peace if we obey him and follow him.
Yeah, and we're going to talk about in this podcast just how unforgiveness actually robs you of your peace.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll talk about it in a different way, but we'll bring that together. But here's the thing. God will only give us as much grace. Now, grace, that word in the original language in Greek means unmerited favor.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't deserve anything. If you're a Christian, you're mm-hmm. a believer in Jesus Christ, right. we really don't deserve anything. Mm-hmm. So grace means an unmerited favor from God. Mm-hmm. But He'll give us that grace as much as we want, as long as we're willing to give it away.
Right. As long as we are letting it flow through us.
Exactly. So we can't be a reservoir.
No.
Right? As a kid, I think about times that I went fishing with my brother.
Mm-hmm.
And we would come upon, like these places in a creek or a river or what have you. And the water is just like, it's pooling up and it's not moving and it's very stagnant.
Mm-hmm.
And that stagnant water begins to stink.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really what happens when we have unforgiveness in our life. It actually is like a stench.
Oh,
it's a stink. And it's stale. And it's not fresh. Because
it's going to come out in everything you say, everything you do. Your very pores are going to like ooze unforgiveness
yeah.
and negativity and all of that.
Right. So, just as that stale body of water, mm-hmm. whatever that stale body of water is that has a smell to it, so does our life, mm-hmm. actually. Mm-hmm. Because we're just kind of admitting this.
Mm-hmm.
Not admitting, but emitting
mm-hmm.
this bad aroma or smell mm-hmm. about our personality or our behavior, whatever that might be.
It affects your countenance.
It does. It affects it in a huge way. So we got to be willing to give it away. So if we want to be that river, God will give us all the grace that we can literally give away.
Mm-hmm.
So in Matthew chapter 18, so here's the thing, like you were saying, okay, should I forgive this person? Should I withhold forgiveness? And so In Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 and 22, Peter was having a dialogue with Jesus about this very thing.
Mm-hmm.
He asked Jesus, he said, "So Jesus, how many times should I forgive my brother who keeps sinning against me? Should it be just seven times?" And, seven in the Bible represents perfection.
Mm-hmm.
So Peter's thinking like, okay, well, if I forgive this person seven times, then I've basically kind of fulfilled perfection, if you
right.
will.
Right. So he's trying to put that out there to Jesus.
Exactly. Right. So he's trying to, you're not going to fool Jesus
no.
here. Okay. So Jesus says, no, not seven times, but 70 times seven.
Mm-hmm.
And so what was Jesus saying? Even 490 times is not the limit, right? What he's saying
right.
is it's unlimited. You're to forgive always and every time. That goes back to the grace thing we just talked about,
yeah.
is when we allow that grace of God to flow in and through us, he's going to continue to give us that grace toward other people who may have hurt us. And
yeah.
we have to release that.
And just because you are offering up forgiveness for someone that hurt you and potentially hurt you deeply doesn't mean that you have to be best buds with them. It doesn't mean that you even have to have a daily relationship with them.
Right.
What that means is that you're releasing yourself from the issues that can arise when you have unforgiveness.
Yeah. So there's problems.
Yeah.
There's problems that arise when we have, unforgiveness towards someone.
Yeah. So one of the first issues that comes up is it's hypocritical.
Yeah.
Unforgiveness is hypocritical. If you are saying that you are a child of God, that you walk in the word, all of the Christianese out there, and you are walking in unforgiveness, you're being a hypocrite.
Yeah.
Because Jesus has forgiven us for every sin we have ever committed or will ever commit.
Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, mind blown, right?
Yeah.
It's the same story in Matthew 18, 21 to 35.
Right.
Where Jesus tells us, the master forgives a servant of a million.
Right.
But he can't forgive.
In modern terms.
Exactly.
I think it doesn't say that exactly
yeah,
in the story.
But he wouldn't forgive his brother for 1,000.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it's that hypocritical side that can come out in unforgiveness.
Right. So Jesus forgives, or in this story, it's Jesus really who's
mm-hmm.
being portrayed here. But this master forgives this guy $1 million, which is huge, right? But it's even more than that
mm-hmm.
in this account if you read Matthew 18, 21 through 35. And so he goes out, he's forgiven. This huge relief and load is lifted off of his shoulders, but then he still has this heart toward
mm-hmm.
his
heart
fellow
heart,
servant
yeah.
that doesn't even come close to the amount that is that he was forgiven in debt.
Yeah.
And he wouldn't forgive him. Even
hypocrite.
$1,000. Yeah. So that's
hypocrite.
It's totally a hypocrite. So that's the first thing
mm-hmm.
that unforgiveness does. So the second thing it is it opens us up for torment.
Mm-hmm.
So let me read to you what it says in the latter part of this story in Matthew 18, verses 32 through 35. And this is what it says. It says, then his master, after he called him, said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt, $1 million. Okay, we're just putting that in there as a number. $1 million because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you? Verse 34, and his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. So my heavenly Father also will do to each of you from, So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. So what is that saying? Jesus is saying, turn this person over to torment. That's what's happening. So when it talks about deliver them to the torturers, this is torment. This is where you're actually, because of unforgiveness, you're allowing torment to come into your life. You talked about peace earlier, honey. Your peace at that point's getting robbed. It's going to become more clear for people as we keep talking about this on this episode here. But your peace is getting robbed because you're willing to not forgive your fellow servant from your heart. So unforgiveness, everyone, it brings torment into your life.
Because what happens in unforgiveness is, so I'm withholding forgiveness from you, let's just say.
Yeah.
And that's making me angry towards you because I'm still upset about what you did to me.
Yeah.
But then in my unforgiveness and me keeping my distance from you, I'm judging you.
Yeah.
And so judgment, I'm judge and jury now instead of God.
Right.
And I'm standing in judgment and having this bitter judgment towards you.
Mm-hmm.
And when we stand in the place of God, that's when God is like, I'm not having that, you know, and that's when your peace is...
It's taken from you.
And that can look like a lot of different things.
Absolutely.
But let's move on to the third issue, that a problem that can arise.
Yep.
It makes us open to demonic deception.
It does.
Which is kind of what I'm talking about. So if you are harboring bitterness, resentment, anger, unforgiveness towards somebody, those are not of God. Those are of the devil. And it really does open up the door for the demonic in your life.
It does.
And I can tell you that I've experienced that firsthand myself. And so I come from experience. If you want to know anything more specific, marriageminute@revivalnow.com.
Just email us
and we can start a dialogue. I've been there, done that, and it's not a fun place to be.
Yeah.
So Ephesians 4:26 and 27 says, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. So 28 says, let him who steals steal no longer.
Yeah.
So what that's saying there is when, it's not saying that you can't be angry, right? Anger is an emotion, like sadness and joy and all of that are emotions that that God has given us. But when you hold on to that anger and you harbor it and you nurse it and you nurture it, that is what gives the enemy a foothold. You know, we were not created by God to be a deposit box for anger to reside.
Right.
You know, if we're in a dispute and we are arguing with one another, we are working towards a resolution. You know, this book that I'm reading called Sacred Marriage, we're falling forward.
Yeah.
We're falling towards one another and not away from one another. We are using the situation, even though, you know, anger might be part of the conversation at the moment, it's not going to be the end result.
But, you know, like the scripture is talking about here in Ephesians 4, verse 26, it says, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. So again, to the point you just made, we're not to be a deposit box for anger to reside, right? That means let it go. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. So Apostle Paul is saying it's okay to be angry. It happens, like I said.
Yeah.
But don't bottle it up. Don't bottle your emotions up and act like you're not angry. But here's the key. Do not sin.
Right.
So don't justify bad behavior because you're angry.
Yeah.
You can't lash out. You know, don't let the sun go down on your anger. You know, if you're angry, take care of it today.
Yeah.
You know, deal with it today because, you know, if you do go let's say to bed angry. What they're saying is don't harbor it. You know, right. Don't hold on to it.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to give a foothold to the devil.
Yeah, because if you deal with anger today and you're able to talk that out with your spouse, you guys can have a mature conversation about it, get to the problem and forgive one another. That's great. Handle it today. Yesterday's anger becomes a problem.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Last month's anger becomes a bigger problem. Last year's anger becomes much bigger problem. So it's better, as the Bible's talking about, handle it today. Today's the day.
Yeah. So what if we don't? Do you have an example, you know, of what maybe you're talking about?
I remember, you know, you and I, when in our marriage, in our younger years
and our stupid years.
In our not so younger years. You know, we've gone to bed angry before.
Mm-hmm.
And I know we've turned our back toward each other. We didn't talk to each other when we were laying in bed.
Yep.
Barely breathed because we didn't want to give each other the satisfaction right. that we were still alive.
Right.
And so, you know, at that moment, your mind is racing with thoughts.
Mm-hmm. Not good ones either.
Not good thoughts. Mm-hmm. But you're thinking a lot of evil things and negative things towards your spouse in that moment.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And so, you know, you have to realize when you're in that place, you go to bed angry and you have all these thoughts that are coming in. You may not realize this, but the thoughts you're dealing with are not introduced by you.
Yeah.
Why is that? Well, the scripture tells us in what you just read a little bit ago, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 26 and 27, the back part of that. It says, do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil.
Mm-hmm.
That word devil is a huge thing. So what happens there is you go to bed. You went to bed in anger and you gave the devil a foothold. The Bible talks about don't give the devil a foothold. And now he's slandering your spouse. Now that word devil in the original language is diabolos. And diabolos literally means accuser and slanderer. And so you're actually inviting in and listening to the devil speak lies into your mind about your spouse. Mm-hmm. He's the one that's actually filling your mind with these thoughts. Mm-hmm. It's really not coming from you. It's coming from the enemy. And I know this all too well. It's happened to me many times toward you and even toward other people.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sitting here listening to these lies and it's getting me, I'm getting madder. And so what do? You have to stop it. That's why you have to forgive and you have to deal with the issue even today, right? So you wake up the next morning after you've laid in bed, stewing all night, listening to these lies,
mm-hmm.
listening to the slander that's being, you know, dished out toward your spouse and being accusing your spouse of different things. Like, it's terrible.
Mm-hmm.
And so now what's happened is that we've been counseled by the devil.
That's right.
All night long.
Yep.
Because we went to bed on our anger, you know, drop by drop of anger that happens and we go to bed on day after day after day builds up. And all we are listening to now is the counsel from the devil.
Yep.
It's a terrible thing.
That's right.
So, you know, why would he do that? Because he wants to destroy people.
That's right. He wants to destroy marriages, relationships.
The devil can't wait to interpret people's motives, your mm-hmm. spouse's motives toward you.
That's right.
He wants to do that.
And you're giving him the key.
Right.
You're opening the door because you're angry and you're not going to deal with mm-hmm. your anger.
The Bible talks about take every thought captive, right? So when we have these different thoughts that are coming into our mind and our mind is racing about the slanderous things and how we don't like our spouse and I wish I would have married somebody else or whatever the thought is that's coming in.
Mm-hmm.
I could have done better. It's all lies from the devil mm-hmm. because he wants to destroy you. He wants to destroy your marriage and he wants to destroy families. That's just what he loves to do. Mm-hmm. He loves to destroy people.
He does.
And he loves to destroy their lives and their marriages. So this is a huge thing. We have to realize about not going to bed on anger.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to deal with it today.
Right.
Today is the most important thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So what we're saying to you guys out there is when we go to bed angry or we have anger and unforgiveness harboring within us, we are not we're giving control to the devil. But when we choose to forgive, mm-hmm. as the Bible, as Jesus calls us to forgive, we take back that control.
Yeah.
You know, if we don't, then a spirit of bitterness, that's what I was talking about, judgment and justice resides in us. Mm-hmm. And you're not going to move forward until you pay the penalty for what it's demanding.
Right. And it's the penalty that you're putting upon someone. Mm-hmm. So it's like, you know, we've said this before here, you know, I guess an analogy or maybe slang, if you will, but you want your pound of flesh.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Right? You want the person to pay for what they did to you.
Yep.
Because you're trying to exact revenge in some way, right? Mm-hmm. You want them to hurt as much as you hurt.
Yeah, yeah.
And so that's what that bitterness, and that's what that spirit of bitterness, which is basically a spirit of justice, is saying, is we're not going to move forward until you get what you want, which is cause them pain.
And that just keeps you in that cycle
of
drama and emotion and roller coaster and unsettled and no peace and no joy and no happiness. And it's just a miserable place to be in.
So it's just kind of contrary because, you know, to how we think, you know, in our humanness, you know, in our frailties. But it's contrary because you say, okay, you're saying that if I forgive somebody, then it's actually going to release me. Yes.
Absolutely. Those chains that you have around your wrist tie you to the person that you're unforgiving. Those are broken. The moment that you speak out, I forgive this person. Now, you may not feel like it. You know, you may not feel instantly at peace, but the more that you stand in that forgiveness and the more that you remind the devil, nope, because the devil's going to bring back to your memory everything as soon as you choose to forgive.
Mm-hmm.
The devil's going to give you images, he's going to talk, whisper in your ear about all, look how horrible this was. Look what he or she did to you.
Mm-hmm.
You should really hate him for this. And he is going to be in your ear, but as you stand in the forgiveness, nope, you rebuke the devil and he will flee.
Yep.
The Bible is very clear about that.
Do not give the devil a foothold.
Satan, get away from me. I have forgiven this person and I want you, Lord, I want you to bless this person. And the more that you do that, the more that you're going to know and you're going to feel that peace come into your heart and into your life.
Because as long as you have unforgiveness, just to bring this point home one more time, when you have unforgiveness, the devil has control.
Absolutely.
You don't have control.
You don't even have control. You might think you do, but you don't.
This is where the power of forgiveness is so important. When you choose to forgive someone, you take back control.
Yeah.
You're not allowing the devil to rule your life and to bring torment into your life at this point.
So some of you might be wondering, well, how do I go about this? You know, what's the formula?
How do I forgive? Yeah.
You know, well, the Bible is not made to be complex. It's very simple. And I appreciate that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do too.
Which is just blows my mind because, you know, people can take the Bible and make it this complex, intricate thing. And that's great.
Yeah.
If that's you, I don't function that way. I'm more of a simple person.
Yeah.
You know, that's how I am. And so when I read something, I take it pretty literal. And that's what God is asking me to do. And that is what I'm going to do. So,
how do we
forgive?
So how do we forgive? Well, first, let's keep it simple.
Let's keep it simple.
Don't let the sun go down your anger. Just like we read in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 26 and 27.
That's right.
Don't allow anger to build up beyond a day.
That's right.
To the best of your ability. I mean, you may be in a situation where you've had anger build up and you have bitterness, you have unforgiveness, and that's been going on for a year or two or whatever, and there's circumstances behind that.
But we get that.
If you're married right now to your spouse, second husband, second wife, whatever the case might be, deal with your anger right then and there.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about what happened, how you were hurt, and then work toward forgiving within the day.
Communicate. You can do this.
I mean, life can be crazy with children and activities and so on and so forth, but you're going to have to take time before you go to bed that night and to work through this because you don't want this carrying in to the next day. You don't want it to compound.
That's right.
That's the thing we're saying here. Don't let it compound. You can work these things out and trust God to work things out through the both of you.
Amen.
Now, the second thing you can do is if you can't speak to your spouse or it's an ex-spouse, or because maybe there's just difficulties mm-hmm. there for one reason or another. Maybe just the emotional maturity or mm-hmm. to be able to have mature conversations really isn't there. What can you do? You still are harboring this unforgiveness and you're challenged by it, but you don't want to hold on to it anymore. You want to be free. You want to take back control. What mm-hmm. do you do? Yep. Well, what you do is you bless them.
That's right. Amen.
You bless your spouse, your ex-spouse, and you pray for them.
That is so powerful.
Now, why am I saying that? Well, the Bible tells us that. Luke chapter 6, verses 27 and 28. So we're giving you biblical counsel here today from the Bible. Jesus is doing all the teaching. We're reiterating what Jesus said.
Amen.
This is the section where it talks about loving your enemies. But I say to you, and it's okay, is my husband or my wife really my enemy? Well, and if you're angry at them at the time, they are.
I've seen you many times as my enemy.
Yeah, and I've seen you that way. But this is what it says, verse 27. But I say to you who hear, this is important. But I say to you who hear, you're willing to listen. Mm-hmm. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Mm-hmm. Bless, hear the words, bless those who curse you, who've come against you. And pray for those who spitefully use you.
Wow.
It's pretty clear.
It's pretty clear.
This is how you can actually get out of it. So bless and pray for the one that have hurt you. So if you're unable to have a conversation, bless them and pray for them. Now, let me give you a story. And it goes back to something you were saying earlier, right? We have to just release the person mm-hmm. over to God, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Here's why. We could be going through a process of every day getting up and saying, I'm going to bless this person. God, in his words, telling me to bless this person. So I wake up each morning and say, God, I want you to bless my husband. I want you to bless his day. I want you to bless him in his job. I pray that all things work out. And you're like, this is like sickening to me that I have to do this after the hurt mm-hmm. that my husband caused me or my wife caused me or whatever. Mm-hmm. But if you keep doing that day after day, what God's going to do is give you compassion toward your spouse. Mm-hmm. Because here's the thing that I want you to realize is you may not know hurt that may have happened to your spouse or your ex-spouse possibly in their life. Mm-hmm. They may have had an incident in their life where they got physically abused mm-hmm. or sexually abused. Mm-hmm. And they're a hurt person because of that.
Yeah.
And you don't know that.
Yeah,
but God may show you as you're blessing and as you're praying for them where the trauma may have happened in your life. And I can guarantee you that when you come from that perspective, God's going to give you compassion and mercy toward your spouse yeah. or your ex-spouse. Yeah. And when you get to that place, you're going to be able to forgive them in your heart.
Absolutely.
Which is what he's asking us to do. We need to forgive our brother and sister from our heart. And that's the place it has to come from.
And what that does, ladies and gentlemen, is it makes the enemy cower in a corner, mm-hmm. which is so awesome. You take back control, you take back power, and you are speaking life and not death into your spouse, into your marriage, and into you.
Yeah.
And so how can you go wrong with that?
You can't. So blessing is the medicine.
That's right.
Blessing and prayer forces forgiveness out of your head, right? Because it's a head thing initially. You're choosing in your head. But we've got to get it to the heart level, mm-hmm. right? Which Amen. Is what Jesus talked about. You have to forgive your brother from your heart. Mm-hmm. So, but when you stand every day and you bless your spouse or your ex-spouse or whomever the unforgiveness is toward, and you bless them and you pray for them every day, God's going to change your heart. And you're going to get to the place where you have compassion and mercy because you know that there's something that's caused them to operate and function in an unhealthy way toward you.
Amen.
But God's going to give you the grace then to allow that to flow like a river toward them.
That's right.
Which is what he wants you to do. Because when your heart changes toward them, they're going to see it. Mm. And we can hope then out of that and believe out of that, that's going to change your spouse's behavior toward you. And you're actually going to be able to have a conversation about it, a real conversation, to really bring about the final healing that needs to happen there, which is healing your marriage and bringing you guys back together so that you guys can flourish and you can thrive and your family can thrive, which Amen. Is what we want. That's our ultimate goal for all of you.
That's right. And you can be rivers of living water
Amen.
Towards one another.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Well, thanks for listening. We love you guys.
Love you guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Thank you for listening today. Catch all of our podcasts at revivalnow.com and send us your Marriage Minute questions at marriageminute@revivalnow.com.